quite a number of things on my heart that I wanted to say something about. And of course, Satan knew that too, you know. So they decided he'd interfere. Paul said, I'd come unto you, but Satan hindered me. And any time I'm going to say something that might be beneficial, he's ready to do something. So it don't matter. Doesn't matter. We still love the Lord. Still got a lot to do for God. And David Paul came in just before we left and to come to church. And he was real enthusiastic about a whole lot of things that they got going and was encouraging us toward the meeting at over in Missouri. I don't know who was going, but I think he said he had about 3 seats left or something. And he mentioned quite a lot of things tonight. A few things concerning the meeting and being in Missouri, and quite a lot of things about the different things that God was doing for the brethren that was in covenant and them that had pledged their lives and dedicated their lives to the source of Christ. And the real outstanding things. A lot of work, a lot of money involved. Looks like it proved to be a blessing for you, your little families, and for the work. But whatever it is, it'll all work out right. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Those that are the called according to his purpose. We know that we love the Lord. And we know that we're the called according to his purpose. So, all things has got to work together for our good. You should never fret. You should never be upset. Even though you have pain and misery. You have tears and sorrow. You have disappointments. You have all those kind of things, and you will, as long as your body's not changed. You're still subject to the evil assaults of Satan. And because of that, you're going to have problems. But it doesn't make any difference. God's got it all worked out. He worked it out before you was ever created, before you ever came into the world. All it was worked out is his mind, and he was given the best side of it. So everything's got to come to the right place for you and for your loved ones. So don't ever be troubled over it. Just love the Lord. Now, people come to church here from time to time. There's with a regularity somebody that's coming maybe from out of state or out of another town. I want you to know you're welcome. If we don't call your name, we don't recognize you. It's because we're not glad to have you. That's not the reason. The reason is because we just don't see it, or we don't know about it. We'd be glad to say something because we welcome you to come to church here and be a part of what we want to do for God. Brother Thomas, is it Choctaw, whatever his name is, out of India. He's been here before. Call, and he's up in a place nearby. Want to come and be with us. It's been a long time since he was in this area, but talks like he enjoys coming. People dropping in on us every once in a while in different countries. We enjoy having them. All right, tonight I'm just going to try to make conversation with you just a little bit, encouraging the Lord. How many of you are glad that you can be here tonight? How many of you are making an effort toward God? Let me see your hand. Okay, how many of you are making a special effort toward God? Let me see your hand. All right, that's good. That's good. That's good. See, the close of the age is here. Everything's closing out. We need more than an effort now. We need a special effort. Only those that make the special effort are going to be able to make the translation. Just those that make the special effort. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, where do you get Bible for that? Well, the Bible said strive to enter in at the straight gate. Striving, like two people striving together, one to get the upper hand of the other. They have to make a special effort, exert all their effort and strength. And that means that just those that make the special effort are going to be able to defeat the devil and make it in. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And it isn't like that he is ever going to come to your place. It isn't like he isn't going to test your faith. It isn't like that he's not going to attack you. He's definitely going to do it. He did Daniel, and Daniel was cast into the lion's den. He did the Hebrew children, and they were cast into the fire. And he has every person that ever lived that tried to serve God, living godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution that do that. And people will say all manner of evil against you. Cast your name out as evil for my name's sake. But just be exceedingly glad, leap for joy, they did the prophets that way. Great is your reward in heaven. And if it was of the world would love you. Because you are not of the world, they don't love you. So he's going to attack you, and he's going to do everything he can. He's going to try to hinder you because you're working against him. You're tearing down his kingdom, and you're causing trouble in his kingdom. And this world is his kingdom, and he doesn't like it. If you are a compromiser, going along and everything's well, you don't have any problem. Because, as I was telling my wife, see, this thing is coming down on the Christian. And if in this life only we have hope, we are all men most miserable, because in this life it's a continual warfare. It doesn't come down on the world like that, because this is the land of Esau. And God isn't going to let anything bother them, because this is all they'll ever have. And it's going to catch them off guard as to his coming. Says, let it happen to you so that you will make the special effort to pull in anchor. Be sure that you're steadfast in God. Make sure that everything's out of your life so that it won't catch you unaware and you can be ready. But the world will just rage on. Go on, the Bible said, they'll dance about. There'll be no bonds in their death. They'll flourish like a tree. Then all of a sudden, the dart will strike through their liver before they know it. So then, that means that God is fattening them up for the kill. And don't ever feel like that because you're a child of God that you're not going to be chastened. Or don't ever feel like that you're going to live so good that you're not going to get chastened. Not only will Satan hinder you, but you're going to be chastened. The Bible said, every son that cometh to the Father, everyone, but what, they go by the whipping post. If you should fail to go by the whipping post, then you're not a son. You are a bastard, and you don't have a heavenly father. Bastard means that you're born out of wedlock. You belong to the beast, and you are a bastard child. Everyone that's not a son of God, as to election, are bastards. They're bastard children. And so then that means that the whole world is in wickedness, and the whole world is bastards. And that means that you alone as a light shine in the midst of them. And Satan is persecuting. He's doing everything he can to tear you down, to wreck you. This might be good for you to think on. Like I was telling some brethren just recently. You know, we still feel there's a great revival in the world today. A great revival to be had. But the revival age is pretty much over. Everything is closing down. And the gospel has pretty well gone into all the world for a witness. The Bible said when this happens, the end would come. And inasmuch as it has, a lot of the things that's happening now, it's the move of Satan, and he's closing in. Jesus said, work while it's day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. That means that the intellectual boycotting system of the natural mind, that they will begin to draw the line as to what religion is, what salvation is, what you have to do. the things that you have to answer to them in. And the little boy caught his own children forced into the school with badges and guns. People forced out of school that wants to stand for God. And prayer taken out of school while they force everything into school. Now, sometimes people wonder why that I get a little bit strong in the things I say. But, you know, I asked, like I asked my wife the other night, I hope you don't mind me just talking to you a little. But like I asked my wife the other day, I said, Betty, I said, people wonder why that I come down so strong against the Olympics. And I said, can you tell me truthfully from your heart, without regards to me as a minister or regards to me as a husband, just out of your own feelings? I said, is ball games, Olympics, is that something from God? Is that from the mind of Christ? She said, no. I said, well, is it from the carnal mind? She said, yes. I said, well, I said, if that be the case, then I ought to preach against it. I should lift my voice against it. Now, should I only lift my voice against it? Or should every true man of God lift his voice against it? Should every true person of God lift their voice against it? Someone would say, well, why? Because the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. And I'm preaching against death and preaching that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Life, and that he's come to give you life and that more abundant. Should I idly stand by when they take prayer out of school and they force it out by law and put you in prison if you oppose it and then will not give you the sovereign right to take your child out of the school, but force it to come and practice their parties and their drinking and their cursing and their filth and never at any time stop anything that's filthy and dirty, and they ravished and dope up everything to your children, to you, and wreck your homes and take the Olympics, the sports, and bring it in full strength into the schools and into the churches. Bring it in, parade, let them be filthy. Let them practice their filthy way of life and have their parties and force that in school. And the televisions were set in the schoolrooms to watch the ball games and all these other things. And then us not rise up, and we shouldn't rise up. Something's wrong with us, and we don't cry out. The Bible said all of them are dumb dogs. They can't bark. A good dog in the yard will bark when the enemy comes. See, to cry out against it, he said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people of their sins. Even the religious people said they act like they live righteous and they live an overcoming life. Yet the ball games is in among them, the pool tables in among them. All the dirty, filthy things is in among them. And the tables are filled with vomit. Trying to eat at the table of devils and eat the table of God. Shouldn't I cry out against it? Their minds are in books and what somebody is teaching. What somebody is trying to bring from the old tree of knowledge. I have people here. Somebody said to me the other day, said, you know, I'm shocked to know that there are, though it's rare, yet there are people among us that's always getting different books. Somebody was telling me the other day about somebody that's following after Kenneth Hagin and his teachings out yonder. No wonder that's charismatic. Still following after that. It's no wonder they give me trouble in the church and in the spirit with their minds like that. They said, how in the world can they do that? See, it's because they need to be born again. See, now, if you say, you mean that's wrong? Of course you know that's wrong. Anything's wrong when a person is not teaching holiness, standing for the gospel. I know folks say, well, they say a lot of good things. I know that. A lot of good things. The devil says all kinds of things. He says things that you would term as good. He quoted the Bible. That's good. But he perverted it. And that's what they do. They quote it for their benefit and do their own thing. So the world going after all these kind of things. See, and they're headed. That is, they want to be intellectual. They want to learn. They want to know. Last days they'd be heady, intellectual, and they'll be high-minded, wanting to live high. Can't be satisfied with a regular income. And also wanting to shoot at the moon, make their nest among the stars. Said, though thou climbest up to heaven through your intellectual brilliance, I'll cast you down to hell. And that's what Lucifer did through the days of grace. Having opportunity because of the blood being on the seat of atonement through his intellectual ability to reflect, he's climbed up into the upper limit and made himself a nest. And he's enjoying your travail. And while you travail, he reflects and he uses the benefit of all of it, even to the healing medicines. They don't have any understanding. They're brute beasts. They can't understand nothing. Well, anyway, should I hold my peace? Should you hold your peace? Should I lift up my voice like a trumpet and cry out against that? They're not going to just stop there. They're going to come on into the churches. They're going to force the issue into the church. They're not going to just stop there. They're going to confiscate till they get control. See, they haven't been able to come in full strength. That would have created rebellion. They have to slip the thing in a little at a time, legislate it, press a little bit, and that way they subdue you without a revolt. Because they know that the people will revolt if they come down too hard at one time. Seeing after a while, they just kind of work the people into it, and it becomes a way of life. And the people accept it, and they say, well, God knows. I can't do anything about it. You know, and so here we go. It's a continual compromise. Never been like that with the church, never before in the history of the world. But it is now, a continual compromise. And like I say, it's not as that we should hold our peace, be easygoing, and go out there and say, well, we're afraid that we'll offend them. We've got to win the soul. It's not like that anymore. See, already they have heard the gospel. They know the word of God. They've heard it over and over. They've heard it by means of television, radio. They've read it in books. They've heard testimonies. Tracts has been passed down. All these kind of things. Continually they've heard it. And it isn't that they're looking for the gospel. It's that they're spying at your liberties to bring you into bondage. And what they're doing, they're false brothers and sisters among you. And what's happening is that these things are coming about so that they can confiscate and get control of you to where they can force the issue down to the very number of the beast. They're working it to get control and force you to lap the vomit and to wallow in the mire. They're trying to make extinct anything that's like God and to get holiness out and godliness out. And anything that vexes the devil or anything that vexes them in that they're servants of the devil, and they want to do away with it. And all they want is a religious assurance that God is loving, that he loves all of them, and that all of them's going to heaven, and that he understands they have to have a little recreation when it comes to Olympics or when it comes to anything else, that we have to indulge in these things just to be what they call stable in our life as a human being, not on the eccentric side, but balanced, as they psychologically say. When they're the ones that's unbalanced. If anything springs up that introduces anything spiritually, it's the old Catholic system. When they put them to death in the Dark Age, they call it a cult. That way they can kill you, put you in prison, feel that they're doing God a service. So then the battle is on, and it's up to us to stand. And the Bible said, don't be afraid of them that can kill the body and act like they can do no more. But rather fear God, who after that he has killed the body can destroy the soul in hell. And don't compromise. He said, stand fast even unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life that passeth not away or fades not away. So then we're living in a terrible situation, folks. It's the time of the fall of Babylon. She's on the verge of toppling right now. This is one great state of chaos when nobody knows anything about anything, whether it's religion or whatever, and everybody's head in high-minded looking for a place of preeminence and an income and to be some kind of polished star before the people. And because of this, they're constantly running an interference. You know, like in a ball game, they have a ball game which is symbolic. And on a football field, there are people that don't do anything except run interference. They're put out there not to carry the ball, not to do anything, but just to interfere. And that's what they do. Indoctrinated. It's like static electricity that's flowing through the air. A lot of times you can't get a clear channel of a program that you'd like to hear because of the static electricity. Demons are like that. Demons, evil spirits, fallen spirits. See, they're like that. They're there to run interference. They're not holy, godly angels that come to minister to you and have a direct course and a direct order from God to do a direct thing. Like the angels were commanded to go down to where Daniel was after Daniel's 21 day of travail before God. See, and this is where you're at. We're trying to tune in on heaven. We're trying to get a clear channel. Paul said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and forbidden to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, which God has made to be received, thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. So then, let's cry against it. Let's don't be shy. Let's don't hold our peace. We need to pray. We need to preach. We need to cry out against it. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. You're the voice of the Lord. You're God's eyes throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. And you're God's voice to cry out against it. Receive this no understanding man, go from him. Don't make fellowship with him. Stay away from him. Don't be an adulterer. Like I say, over here with this television artist today and over here with another preacher next day, and while you're living with this woman, you're courting another woman over here, or living with this man, you're courting another man over yonder. Don't do that. That's spiritual adultery. Sin, it means you're double-minded. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's right and what's wrong. Because if you try to mix darkness with light, that's the proof of it. You can't do that. And it isn't like everybody among you is right. You got false brothers, false sisters. And they're here for one reason. That's to spite your liberty and to entangle you. See, to go betray you. They stay here long enough just to learn about you and your way of life. And then they're gone like that. And they go out there to the world and they tell them all about you and your shortcomings. It's an occult and I've seen this and I know this. Then the people are deceived. They say, well, these people ought to know. They've been among them. See, and they lay in wait just like a wolf to slit the throat of the little ones. See, as a great prophet used to say, get your double barrel and go after it. And it isn't as though nobody pays any attention to what we say. It's like it was said down at brother's place. It's many miles from here. We got word back, said, we know what goes on up there. Said, we got somebody there among you. They're on the telephone. Said, they inform us with a regularity if something off color or whatever, you know. So, though you rub elbows with them every day, and they're here with you, they're not with you. They're not with you. They're not in agreement with you. They're here for their own selfish purpose. And that means that we're a little flock, but God has given us the kingdom. And it means that we've got to strive to enter in at the straight gate, because many is going to make effort to go in and not be able. Once the master's risen up and shut to the door, they'll begin to call outside to open to me, but it'll be too late. And the door is fast closing. As a matter of fact, our trip yesterday had to do with what appeared to me as a real significant thing. Nothing in this world without significance. The marriage of Ernie and Betty was highly significant, seeming to be in connection with what happened yesterday. And some things that's happening that's real phenomenal right at this particular time. So it's real broad. We brought out quite a number of things to our companion, maybe to David or some of them, as to how broad a thing is. And yet, a lot of times we never notice it as people. We just ease on by, pay no attention to it. And yet it's tremendous as to what's taking place. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, though he himself can be judged of no man, because he's already sealed in and perfected forever. And God won't receive any accusations against you as children of God. Nothing can spot you, not a blemish. You keep yourself and the evil one never touches you. So God won't receive accusations against you. Every weapon formed against you will fail to prosper. And every mouth that rises against you in the day of judgment, he said, I'll condemn it. So you don't have to worry. Everything's well with you. All things are working together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. At Bethlehem, we're still on the move for God, trying to do something for God. And naturally, we're going to be hindered. One way or another, we're going to be hindered. But it doesn't matter. We're still going on for God. It's not like the devil's going to stop us. He isn't going to stop us. Somebody would say, or Brother Pike, you might not ought to say like anything like that, because he'll stop you for sure. He doesn't even have a running chance. He doesn't even have a running chance. There ain't a thing in the world, not a thing that he can do. Not a thing that he can do. You got a course to run. I got a course to run. When that course is run, God will take us right on with it. Until then, the devil just has to sit back and look. It's like Job. He done all kind of things, but said you can't take his life. See, and he never could take his life. Never could. He said, well, if you'll turn me loose on him, I'll make him curse you to your face. The Lord said, there he is, go on. But he never could do it. He never could do it. He can't make you curse God either. See, there's something on the inside of you that won't let you do that. Though everything gets severe and it gets hard, it don't make any difference. You will overcome. We sing the song, I'll overcome, I'll overcome. So it doesn't matter what is said or done, we'll always be the overcomer. I thank God, Paul said, who always, always gives us the victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith, your believing, your confidence in the Word of God. Like the songwriter said, trusting in the promises gives me confidence. I have hope. So then, we know by that everything's all finished for us, and before the world ever was created, before it ever came to be, God had already settled everything in our behalf. And today, beloved, we're the sons of God. It's not like I've got to work to become a son of God. It's not like I got to run a course or do a thing to become a son of God or to have an inheritance. All of that is predetermined. All of that is a thing that God's already determined in his mind before I came into the world. And besides that, we're already predestinated. It's not like I got to do a certain thing to get to my destination. He predetermined and predestinated me. So my destination is predetermined in the mind of God. And I'm assured that I will make it. Someone would say, well, when do you hope to reach it? I reached it before I ever came into the world. I was in the loins of my Father. I'm still within His presence. Never left His presence. Always been in His presence. Before the world ever was, I was with Him. I leaped for joy. There with Him before the world ever was. And I'm still leaping for joy, still praising the Lord. Never have at any time been out of His presence. Always been with Him. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I'm always with you, even at the end of the world. He's above us. He's in us. He's through us. We have our being in Him. He's right by our side. So when will I reach my destination? I've already reached it. I was predestinated. When will I become a son of God? I'm already a son of God. Well, when will the Lord acknowledge your Christian life and give you salvation? I already have it. He already acknowledged it. As Paul said, greet or salute my women workers in Christ whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever was. Then what are we doing? I'm preaching the gospel because, as the prophet said, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, I was called to be a minister. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. It was given to me by predestination, not because I repented and decided I wanted to be a preacher or to go to seminary or something, or somebody ordaining me a preacher. It's like in my real early life, one of the churches, I recall way upstate, been up all night talking to a brother in Christ. I was there on an Indian reservation doing a camp meeting and supposed to be licensed with this denomination, one of our most outstanding denominations. When they took me before the board, they made it so hard on me. And I was kind of pleading for them not to do that or make me take the test because I was tired, been up all night talking about the Lord. Didn't matter. They really put me over the coals, as we say. And they got me so aggravated till tears filled my eyes. All them great scholars, great men. I said, gentlemen, let me tell you something. I don't care whether you license me or you don't license me. I said, God called me to preach, and I'm going to preach the gospel. And they got tore up, and they said, you're the kind we want. So they licensed me. But see, the thing is, we're licensed by God. Though I didn't follow that, I didn't go on with that, but I come to realize that that's not the way anyway, following after denominations. Though we left them in real good standing, no marks against us. But the thing is, we got a job to do, and God has called us to do it. And God knew that I was to be a minister before I was ever born into the world. And I am trying to preach the gospel, and I'm trying to tell you that here in our midst, we have predestinated people, and we have sons of God in our midst. Just a few in the whole world. Just a few. But we have them, and they've already reached their destination. They're already dwelling in heaven. Heaven is their destination. And they're already dwelling in heaven. They're already sealed in. They've already accomplished their purpose and their goals. They're already perfected forever. They're already justified. They're already sanctified. They're already glorified. All they're trying to do is come to the place of acknowledgement. And God's got the minister to open their eyes, calling to them to come out from among them in the world because you're different. It's like the eagle that was hatched off in the barnyard with the chickens. Having heard the scream, as the little story said, the eagle spread his wings, and suddenly he found himself aloft when those in the barnyard couldn't get over the fence. See, and so you are like little eaglets, and you have a great potentiality that those that are around about you don't have. And if you ever hear that heavenly cry, it's that mother that laid that egg when she went over, she screamed, and that little one recognized the voice. Seeing you're the potentiality of God, and someday you're going to spread your wings and lift off. All the rest is going to be left here in the barnyard. This is just a beast, a place for beast, and just a beast lair. It's just a place where they are lounging around. And because we fall into this place as to a process through the weakness of Adam and Eve, it doesn't mean it's our home, nor that we're going to stay here. Out of Egypt, I've called my son to Canaan, into the great promises of God, as to the promised land of the Spirit, traveling through the wilderness of this intellectual frustration, trying to determine what's what and differentiate properly. It's a little problem sometimes. A lot of conflict, serpents trying to bite everywhere. But like the writer said, keep your eyes on Jesus and he'll calm the troubled waters of your soul. So then it's obvious that there are those that are already a finished product, complete in him. And we're just trying to awake you to this great potentiality that's within you, that you might believe your way right into the wonderful rewards of the benefit of making Christ manifest in your mortal genes, that the creature which is the body might be changed through witness the adoption, realizing that it's already the purchased possession, and coming to the understanding that the benefits are right presently at this moment yours, and that it's just a matter of believing what he has said. So then that means that we have children of God. And when you hear the ministry and you hear these words, the Bible said give them orange tea to them. Listen, any time you should let them slip. Take heed how that you hear them, for these are words of spirit and these are words of life. Well, let's stand together. Just talking to you tonight, just a little bit, to let you know that we love you, appreciate you, willing to come in, make the effort to instruct you and to encourage you on your journey and to share with you the wonderful exuberance of Christ and to tell you the abundance of life that God has given you. How can we thus enjoy the abundance of life? Christ Jesus is the Prince of Life. This Christ is on the inside of you, which makes you the wield of salvation. And that means that he is Christ, the great Spirit of Almighty God. He is the well of water. Though you be the well, he is the water. And he's the fountain open in the house of David. And the house of David, built by Solomon, as to the gathering of the material, like the song we wrote, Chief Cornerstone. See, you're the beautiful temple of God, and that makes you as to the Son of David, the house of David. And I will return and build his house again, though it was torn down by Babylonians. I will return in the last day, saith God, build up this house of lively stones, and upon the foundation of the apostolic leaders, built up into Christ, the chief cornerstone. And now here we are, the house of David, and out of your innermost beings flows rivers of living water. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said, the kingdom don't come by observation, but it's within a person. And that kingdom of God within you, even Christ, out of that throne that he sets upon in your heart, flows a river of life, and people all about you drink of that water. And you're the trees that's planted by the river of life to bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves shall not wither. And you know, one thing of the fruit that we should remember is this: and your fruit shall be whatsoever ye ask in my name. This will be your fruit also, and it's your Father's good pleasure that you bring forth much fruit. So then tonight, this is our privilege. Let's enjoy it, even now while we can. And let's point others to it. We'll start this little chorus off, and Brother Taylor and the others can sing it. They're not hoes. We'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, walk on streets of gold, walk on streets of gold, walk streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll walk on streets of gold. Oh, we'll